Amen. All right, let's go to work. Let's go right into the Word of God. I want to encourage you tonight. I know that we're here and still in the midst of this pandemic right here at Thanksgiving. So many things have changed for us. I mean, you know, we used to getting ready to be with our families, and now gatherings have been restricted to under 10 people in so many states and so many areas. And perhaps where you are, it could be the same, less or more, but definitely not like we're used to doing it, where there's, you know, 30, 40 people at the house and just people in and out and everyone bringing dishes. So many things have changed this year. So many things have happened to change those things. But let me share with you, even with all that that has changed, Christ and his purpose for our lives has remained the same. Do you agree with that? You should type amen right there. If you agree, Christ and his purpose for your life has remained the same, you need to say amen. Believe that today. Listen, every now and then, and forgive me, I'm going back and forth, my Bible, my iPad. Listen, every now and then, we have to realize that we need encouragement, all right? It was David that had to turn around and encourage himself after he got the news about his family back in Ziklag. David had to turn around and he had to encourage himself. Well, every now and then, we find ourselves in positions where even though we're going, even though we're continuing, even though we're moving, there are times when we have to kind of like, it's getting hard. I've got to encourage myself. I've got to lean on it. What other way can you encourage yourself but through the Word of God and through the Scriptures, and knowing that we are not the first ones that have to encourage ourselves in these things, that people have gone before us that had to encourage themselves. And we realize that, man, okay, God, you've done this before. You can definitely do this again. There's something that I do pretty much five to 7 days out of the week, mostly five, more than seven. I go to spin class. And each time I go, one class is called endurance, and they want us to be able to endure. And then there's another one that's called power. So the power class, the idea is to get as many watts as you can to beat the number that you last achieved in your last spin class. So of course, you know, I'm going my power. You can't go so fast because you're lifting pretty heavy. But the goal again is to make sure that you exceed the number from the last time. Well, here we are, and we're going through things and we're dealing with things. But I want you to try to exceed the number, exceed the level that you dealt with on the last time. Yep, what are you talking about? If your faith was on 90 last time, I need you to keep on building those muscles in the Word, those muscles in strength, so that your faith can be on 92. Then we're going to keep going till we're 95. Then we're going to keep going till we're 97. But look at this. Every now and then, of course, we've got to really encourage ourselves. Now, one thing about spin class is, even though you have the instructor who's encouraging everybody, you have to have a self-determination inside to make sure that, you know what, I have to beat my own number. It's not about who's to my right. It's not about who's to my left. It's about me. It's about my strength. It's about my endurance. The Bible puts it like this. The race isn't given to the swift. The battle isn't given to the strong, but to the one that endures to the end. So it might take me a little bit longer, but I promise you, I will come out with the max power, which will exceed the power that I had before. All right, so this isn't a time, right? I have to encourage you. I want you to be strengthened. And when I'm thinking about the book of Jude, where he's saying, I need you to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. In other words, it was once delivered, but it wasn't once delivered not to be used again, but it's for us to build on. It's for us to strengthen. It's for us to keep going. It's for us to keep toiling. It's for us to keep pressing. It's for us to keep moving. Earnestly contend, earnestly reach, earnestly lean in, earnestly grab, earnestly move towards that faith. I often admire so many matriarchs in God. 2020, we have lost a lot of powerful voices in the kingdom of God. But one thing I've admired about many of the voices that have fallen asleep is their earnest desire and their perseverance and their press in faith. It's almost like they couldn't be stopped. And I know they had trials. I know they had tribulations. I know they had struggles, just like many of us do, like I do for sure. But they kept going. And that tells me, Lord, If this faith has already existed, it can happen again. If we go to Hebrews 11, you have the whole hall of faith there. And one of my favorite people in that whole hall of faith is Enoch. When the Bible talks about Enoch, he was translated that he should not see death. Man, you talk about faith. That's what I'm thinking about right now. I'm like, Lord, I want that kind of faith, which was once delivered. If this has already happened, it can happen again for me. Paul said it like this when he was talking to Timothy. He said, let's stir up the gift of God that is within you. That's what Tyrus's goal. Pastor Tyrus's goal tonight is to stir up the gift of God. Earnestly contend. I want to stir it up so that you press a little further. I want you to stir it up so that you go a little hard. I want you to stir it up so that you go a little further. All right, here it is. So we're talking about that. This time you have to really encourage yourself. You have to realize that even though there's things happening around us, the greater that is inside of us, the Bible says, greater is he that is inside of me than he that is in the world, than he that is external. My internal has to be so secure and so strong that even though I'm battling every single day, you know, there's a strength that's coming. The Bible says it like this, that the outward man is perishing, external, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. What are you saying, Pastor Tyrus? I'm saying there's a whole lot going on around us, right? COVID-19 is shutting stuff down left and right. Folks are dying. Things are happening. Kids are going crazy. I don't know about y'all, but this 17-year-old that I have right now, he has been the test of our faith, our fabric, our family. And sometimes I was like, okay, Lord, what are you getting ready to do in our future? But one thing I know is that the outward man, everything around me, even this flesh is perishing, but the inward man, my strength, my faith is being renewed day by day. Lord, he's building us up. That's why it's important that we earnestly contend. That's why it's important that we earnestly keep reaching. That's why it's important for us to set new goals in faith. It's not good enough just to have everything external, but you have to have something internal, something to look forward to. What do I look forward to? And I know, please don't criticize me for being heavenly minded, but that's the goal that I have. That is my chief end. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God forever. So I'm really looking, I'm expecting, I'm excited. I'm living to live again. I don't build my hope on things here in the earth, but I build my hope on things eternal because I'm living to live again. What makes Thanksgiving like it is for me? Because I realize I'm thanking him now for things to come. I'm thanking him for what he's already done. I'm thanking him for how he's sustained. I'm thanking him for how he's kept. I'm thanking him for every door he's opened. I'm thanking God for every door he's closed. I know I can get an amen right there. I'm thanking him for doors that he's closed. But in that thankfulness, I'm still earnestly contending. I'm thanking him, but I'm building. Each thank you builds another block for me to go higher. Each thank you builds another opportunity for more, for increase, for overflow. All right. So now let's go to the text we're dealing with tonight. Let's go right to the book of James. The book of James. James is a half brother of Jesus Christ. And he wrote these five chapters to Jewish Christians who had been scattered all throughout the Mediterranean world because of persecution. It's amazing how persecution can really spread. Persecution can cause folks to flee. Persecution, COVID-19. I'm not saying COVID-19 is persecution. Don't hear me wrong. But as a major circumstance can cause people to flee different ways. Prayerfully, and I've obviously, since you're tuned in tonight, it has caused you to flee towards faith. So this is what we're talking about tonight. All right. Their hostile surrounding. They were tempted to let intellectual agreements pass for true faith. This is important. They were tempted to allow those intellectual agreements. It's important that our faith and that we are so rooted and grounded in the Word of God, in the Scriptures, in the hope of the eternal promise that comes with the Scriptures, that we are not moved, we are not shaken, we're not even persuaded to do anything. The Bible says that neither life nor death nor any other creature will be able to separate me from the love, from the Word. According to John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right, so that's what I'm talking about. All right, so you thinking about that, the tone throughout these particular five books here in the book of James, we're talking about the living faith. All right. If you're taking notes, the first tone throughout these five books of James is the living faith. James admonishes us not to only be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word also. He compares empty faith with the faith that works, commitment to love and service, and which is the evidence of true faith. Living faith makes the difference. Y'all hear what I'm telling you? Living faith makes the difference. Make sure that you're not just saying, oh, I have faith, but make sure your faith is alive, your faith is active, that your faith is in the Word. The Bible says the Word of God is sharp, it's quick, it's powerful. And that's what you want your faith to be, just as sharp, because your faith is in the Word, which is sharp. Your faith is in the Word, which is powerful. Your first faith is in the Word, which is active. Your faith is in the Word, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. That's where you want your faith to be, all right? So make sure that your faith is in action, that your faith is always moving, your faith is always stirring you to the next of God, not to the what was of God, but to the next of God, all right? He also talks about, the second thing he talks about in this particular book, these five chapters, is trials. He talks about in the life of Christians, there are going to be some trials. Oh, mercy, there's going to be some trials. There's going to be some troubles. There's going to be some disappointments. There's going to be some heartaches. There's going to be some things we're going to have to overcome. There's going to be some struggles, some mind struggles, some heart struggles, some emotional struggles. He's saying, yeah, but you know what? We have the antidote, which is Christ. And he gives us the power to overcome all of these struggles. That's why James has to talk about it. Say, listen, yep, there's going to be some trials. There's going to be some temptations. Yep. But you can overcome. Tyrus Hinton is a witness. I'm telling you, my brother and my sister, whatever you're dealing with right now, you can overcome according to the Word of God. All right. The third thing he talks about, I'm running out of time here. Third things he talks about is the law of love. We're saved by God's grace, not by keeping the law, but by Christ's grace, all right? Christ gave us a special command in Matthew, the 19th chapter, where he talks about you shall love your neighbors as yourself. We're to love and serve those around us. Now, we're serving very differently now. Things are virtual. Things are remote. We're not able to be as hands-on. We're 6 feet apart. Here I am in our office by myself, and I'm sharing this devotional with you wherever you may be. Even if you're with someone, if you're surrounded by friends, you're 6 feet apart, you have your mask on, all that fun stuff. Or if you're alone, maybe sitting on your couch, you're just kind of looking at your TV, or maybe even on your phone, your electronic device, however you're watching, we're showing love. We're saying, okay, hey, listen, we're serving you by giving you the Word. We're sharing with you by giving you the Word, by encouraging you, by inspiring you, by motivating you. That is the love of Christ being shed abroad. And then we serve. You know, you have your Feed the City. You have your pantry. We have so much going on here, so many ways that we serve and we give. But then we share the love of Christ, which is what here James talks about, the law of love, love and service to others. Then when we're talking about the fourth thing that James mentions is wise speech. It says wisdom shows itself in speech. We're responsible for the destructive results of our talk. We are also responsible for the creativity of our conversation. The wisdom of God that helps control the tongue will also help you control your actions. Let me say that again. The wisdom of God, which can help you control your tongue, will also help you control your actions. Let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. When you're thinking about your situation, I need you to speak differently. I need you. We had to do this at home. My wife and I have been working on this. We've been working on it with our grown children. We've been working on it with our bonus children. And we're working on it with our teenage son. And we are beginning to speak life. Even though the enemy tries to throw darts at us, and sometimes we're able to duck and sometimes we're able to dodge them, and oftentimes they catch us, but we catch that word, whatever he throws at us, we catch it with the Bible, and we take that thing and we close it up and say, no, that's not what God promised. We speak life and not death. We're the head and not the tail. We're above, we're not beneath. We're the lender, we're not the borrower. I have favor on my life. I have favor on my children. Their future is secure. Their eternal resting place is with Christ Jesus. They are saved by faith. They do live. They do have enough. Cupboards are never empty, never homeless, never without, always giving, always loving. This is our hope. Best grades, top of the class, college GPA, I needed 3.5, 4.0, let's do it. Graduate programs, this is what we're speaking. We will not allow the enemy to dictate our speech by our circumstances. Let me say that again. We will not allow the enemy to dictate our speech by our circumstances. We'll see this, but this is not what God is saying. This is not the promise that's over my life. I only speak what he's spoken to me. All right. Then the next thing James talks about, the fifth thing he talks about this in this whole book is wealth. James taught Christians not to compromise with the worldly attitude about wealth. In other words, you can't despise wealth. God can give you wealth during a pandemic. God can cause you to prosper in a pandemic. Every time I'm on Instagram, folks are getting houses. Every time I'm on Facebook, folks are getting houses, opportunities, doors are opening, jobs, promotion, business opportunities. One of my bonus children I just saw today, that she just began a new business of creativity. And God is doing the same thing for many of you who are watching. You're like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do with this pandemic. Oh my goodness, my job, my this. And God is saying, wait a minute. Let that gift be stirred. I put something in you that the world needs. Do you know what's in you only you have and only you can possess, and the world needs the best of you? And you, as Pastor Brian always tells me, that you're being selfish when you don't give the best part of you, because God has gifted you in that way. So listen, don't be like me, which I'm not anymore. I'm not going to be selfish. I'm going to give the best part of me because that's what God has ordained me to do. I want to encourage you to give the best part of you. See wealth not as a bad thing, but see wealth as what God said you could have. In Deuteronomy 8 and 18, the Bible says he's given us power to get wealth. He's given us power to get wealth. It's all through his word for us to be wealthy. We're not going to despise our wealth. We have what we say. I'm wealthy. I have more than enough. I'm a giver. I'm a lender. I'm a sower. I'm also a reaper of that which I've sown. I'll sow here, I'll reap over here. I'll sow here, I'll reap over here. Come through, world overcomers. I'll sow here, but I'll reap over here. And I believe that's what God's going to do. He's going to give us fields that we didn't have to work for. He's going to give us land that we didn't even have to work for. But God's going to give it to us. All right. When you're thinking about that, and I got to wrap up here. When James is talking to us, he wrote this letter after Stephen was martyred. Persecution was increased. Christians in Jerusalem were scattered throughout the Roman world. There were thriving Jewish communities in Rome, Alexandria, Cyprus, and cities in Greece and Asia Minor. Because the early believers didn't have the support of the Christian churches, James wrote to them as a concerned leader to encourage them to have faith during difficult times. What is this devotion about tonight? It's about having faith in a very difficult time, remaining thankful in a very difficult time, remaining hopeful in a very difficult time. That's why James picked it up in the first chapter, in the second verse. And he says, brethren, count it all joy when. He didn't say if, he said when. He didn't say if, he said when. And I know growing up, if you grew up in a conservative holiness church like I did, when we heard count it all joy, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, and you know, it would talk about when you fall into diverse temptations. Most of the time they were talking about adultery, they were talking about fornication, they was talking about all kind of, you know, just sinful stuff. But man, I wish that I could go back and share with many of those who are sleeping, hey, do you know sometimes that diverse temptations was doubt in our mind? Do you know sometimes that temptation was the temptation to doubt in our heart? Do you know sometimes that temptation was to not believe the word that God was speaking over us? It wasn't necessarily always a physical act. Sometimes it's a mental act. When you fall into diverse temptation, James is saying this, I know because of the circumstances around you. These guys are being persecuted. The Christians are being persecuted. That's their circumstance. We're dealing with COVID-19. There's a temptation to doubt. There's a temptation to want to throw in the towel. There's a temptation to want to give up. There's a temptation to be like, okay, I'm done with it all. I'm over it. There is a temptation. But listen what James said. He said, count it all joy. Because knowing this, that the trying of your faith is working patience. Oh my God. And let patience, in verse 4, let patience have her perfect work. He's not suggesting that we pretend to enjoy what we're dealing with. He's suggesting that we earnestly contend and we count it all joy. Earnestly contend in the book of Jude, but then we count it all joy in the book of James. Earnestly contend, keep pressing, keep plowing, keep going, but then count it all joy. Yep, I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. This is not what I signed up for. This is not what I felt like God called me to. Yep, earnestly contend and count it all joy. But you know what, God? You put laughter in my soul. So when it's all over, I'm be shouting and singing and rejoicing because I realize that I made it through that. What is he saying? He's saying, I wanted you to count it all joy during what times? Times of great trouble, all right? These times teach us endurance. These times teach us patience. These times teach us hope. These times teach us experience. These times teach us how to depend on God. These times teach us how to save and spend wisely. These times teach us how to appreciate and establish stability. These times teach us how to appreciate real love. Oh my God, we've been spending time. We've been appreciating the real love, genuine love, not a love that is forced to be, but a love that is genuine. These times also teach us how to dance through difficult times. Listen, we have something at my house. We say it's track five. Okay. And I know track five. I had an instrumental CD of a bunch of different praise tracks. And y'all, if you know me, if you know Pastor Tyrus at all, y'all know I love to dance. I love to praise God in the dance. I'm like David. I just keep my clothes on. But I'm telling you, I love to dance and praise God that way. That is my expression all day. And one thing I'll do around the house when things start to get rough, I'll say, all right, track five. Yeah, I still got a CD player. And I also have it downloaded on my music memo here also. But track five, and I go to praising God and I go to thanking God, and I do it until I see things shift. I don't let up off of my praise. I don't let up off of my prayer until I see things shift. So that's what we're doing, all right? We dance through tough time. We worship through tough times. We keep our flow. Here's my worship, all of my worship. Receive my worship. We worship through these tough times. We lift our hands in total adoration unto you, O God. You sit upon the throne. You're God and God alone. Because of you, my cloudy days are gone. I just want to say, I love you more than anything. Yep, I love you, Jesus. Worship and adore you. I worship him in times like this, all right? Then these times also teach us how to encourage one another. I have enjoyed encouraging so many people. I was sharing that I've unfortunately done more eulogies in this last, 9-10 months than I have in the years of pastoring. And I'm like, wow, God, okay. But you know what? It has given me the opportunity to encourage so many people through these challenging times. What am I saying to you, my friend? What am I saying to you, my brother, my sister, tonight? I'm saying to you, keep going. Keep pressing. Don't stop. James tells us, count it all joy. Jude tells us to earnestly contend. And tonight, as you prepare to enjoy your Thanksgiving tomorrow, whether it's in an intimate setting or whether you're having the limit that your area or your governmental, you know, structure allows, whatever you're deciding to do on Thanksgiving, I want you to think on the greatest things. And I want you to make sure that you count it all joy, everything that you've had to encounter, everything that you've had to experience, even those that we've lost during this pandemic. Let's count it all joy with a heart of thanksgiving. We used to sing a song growing up. I will bless thee, O Lord, with my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise. With a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. On this Thanksgiving Eve, my friend, my brother, my sister, please make sure that you are intentional about blessing God. One thing that James talked about in this here particular book of James is he mentions our ability to embrace wealth and to have a wealthy mindset. And I know, I'm a witness, I am a personal witness, that the way to have wealth is to sow seed. The way to grow financially is to sow seed. The way to build is to sow seed. And yes, this is a devotional, but if you heard something that encouraged you and that blessed you, I want you to sow into this ground. World Overcomers Christian Church is good ground. World Overcomers, World United, WCC Global is good ground to sow in. I'm telling you, every time I sow here, I watch God in just a few days. I watch him turn that thing around. Do I sow because God is going to bless me? I sow because I know the principle and I understand the principle of sowing and reaping. You sow your seed today, you will reap a harvest in not many days. I want you to sow. Go get your wallet. go where you keep your money, as we used to say in the older church. Go where you keep your money and get it out. Get your credit card. You know, that's the only way we can give these days, that we can give digitally. And I'm going to give myself. I'm not only encouraging you to give. I'm going to give. I want you to get your credit card, your debit card, however you sow, and I want you to give. You can text WOE online to 77977 and give no less than a $25 seed. It's Thanksgiving. Listen, so many of you have saved money by not traveling this year. So you know what? I want you to give. Give, he'll give it back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Why don't you sow a seed? Thanksgiving. This is a good year to sow. This is a good time to sow, my friend. I can't tell you, I can't stress it enough, that this is a good time to sow, and this is good ground to sow in. So text right now to 77977. We're texting WOE online again to 77977. And I promise you, as you sow your seed tonight, you will see a harvest in just a few short days. Let me pray and believe with you. God, we thank you so much. You give seed to the sower. You give seed to the sower. And we thank you tonight for seed to sow into your kingdom. God, we're going to keep pressing. God, we're going to keep going. Because God, we know that even though our faith is being tried, you have given us enough inside to count it all joy. We thank you for it now. God, bless every home, God, of every viewer that's watching tonight. And let them have peace. Let them have joy. Let them have comfort as they enjoy their time together. In Jesus' name, we all say together, amen. Again, thank you for watching. On behalf of our pastor, our First Lady, the entire World Overcomers staff, and church family, we want to say happy Thanksgiving. Be blessed.